Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Oh, Charlie Sexton with this one. Hey, Fred, I got to tell you something here before we get Tim Sommer on. So I didn't, this is terrible. I lost control of the studio. Alexa comes over here. She's been here all day. And she says, where's the mouse for this computer? There's a couple of computers and there's one over there.
Oh, no.
And that one over there has got the comments from the audience on the YouTube stream. And she claims that I said that she could comment. And she just starts typing out messages to the audience. She's checking in with people saying, hi, Alexa,
she's
here.
Chatting?
Merry Christmas. Oh, yeah. She's
with our
chatting
listeners?
Live on the YouTube stream right now. And I had no idea she was doing it.
I asked this earlier, Mark. When you go to Greece next year,
yes,
is Alexa going with you?
No.
Can she fill in for you,
yes,
while you're gone?
Yeah, I think she can. I think she'll do a good job. Speaking of Tim Sommer, our favorite music journalist, former record executive, and contributor to the Rock and Roll Globe website. How are you, Tim?
Oh, what a pleasure. And happy, happy Christmas to you and your family. And just... does poor Sue know she's lost her job to Alexa?
Well, hopefully not. Sue's going to be mad that she missed Alexa because they do have a good time together. And I thought, listen, she had off school today, so I thought we'd drag her in here.
What a pleasure listening to Alexa. And she's got good taste, and she has great radio skills.
I know. She used to be really, really shy. But let's talk a little music here as we take people into the weekend.
First of all, the songs you've been playing have been amazing. You just played Charlie Sexton. Now, Charlie Sexton, who I think is right now out on the road as Elvis Costello's guitar player, was Bob Dylan's guitar player for a very long time. And if you've ever seen Charlie Sexton perform live, that is a treat.
It was not an accident that I picked that song for our segment because I have seen Charlie with Bob Dylan. I've seen Bob a couple of times, and he is an awesome guitarist. I didn't know he was out with Elvis. They just announced a new tour with Elvis, I think the Factory here in St. Louis, and it's a little different type of tour. He's going back, I think, to some more obscure songs, if I understood correctly. I don't know.
I did hear about that, yes.
Yeah. I saw Elvis several years ago, maybe 10 years ago, when... it was here at the Pageant, a great venue, and it was just Elvis, not a band, and he was doing some storytelling. There was some video. I had no idea. His dad was a huge, huge star in the early 60s in England, in London.
That's right, yeah, a big band star, band leader.
Yeah, like for a variety show or something like that, too.
Yeah.
And boy, if you could have seen the video of, you know, his father and what Elvis looks like, man, no mistaking those two. So one of the questions that we had was, what are the biggest music stories of the year? I have some thoughts on that, and I know you have some thoughts on that. We can go over some of our stuff.
I'm going to throw three at you.
Okay.
And again, this is, we're talking personal opinion here. This is all, you know, I was going to say objective, but for the life of me, despite the fact that I write for a living, Mark, I always get objective and subjective mixed up.
I can empathize with that, yeah.
So let's just say it's my opinion. So I'm going to give you three stories. The first is Taylor Swift. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. We grew up, and I mean specifically you and I, Mark, we grew up in an era where we were made to believe that no one could ever possibly be as big or be as important to young people as the Beatles were to us. Yet here comes Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift turns an entire generation of young women, young girls, into music fans for life. She makes them listen to her music, and I mean listen, not just dispose of it, not just listen to 30 seconds on Spotify, but really study the music and be absorbed by the music. And she does the first $1 billion tour in history. So I think when you look at the biggest stories of the year, Taylor Swift and the fact that I think she really did the impossible. She finally came along and did something as big as the Beatles. So that's my number one.
And I think it's an appropriate number one. And I must say, I think because I pay a lot of attention to music outside of my children, I already have. Will I be lying if I would say that my daughter didn't have some influence there? Of course, because I've been exposed to more of the music. But I'm a fan. I really am. I like a lot of the music. I'm a fan of hers. I would stay outside of the political arena in most musical artists, including Mr. Springsteen. But I think she's fantastic as an entertainer. And I very much look forward to see how it evolves from here, because she's got lots of, you know, lots of opportunities, I think, in the future.
And as I said, I think one of the greatest things she does is she created a generation, a new generation of people who cared about records, who cared about music, who cared about lyrics, who followed, oh, this is what a bass player does, this is what a guitar player does, this is how songwriting develops. And that's just wonderful. And when it comes to Taylor Swift, that sort of leads me to what I think is one of the other major musical stories of 2024, which is, I think we finally learned that no one gives a holy damn who a musician supports politically. It's not going to change an election. It's not going to change votes. You can have Bruce Springsteen get on stage and say, vote for this person. You can have Taylor Swift get on stage and say, please, vote for this person. You know what? It doesn't make a difference.
And
for a long time, we all thought it would make a difference. Do you remember, Mark, how excited people were, how excited the Democrats were when Taylor Swift came out for Kamala? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. A lot of people were predicting it would be a huge game changer, right? Bringing the legions of women, right.
And it just wasn't. And a part of that, there are probably a lot of reasons for that. I think a part of that is today the rock stars are MMA fighters. They're not the rock stars you and I grew up with. Today, the rock stars are those kind of personalities, the kind of personalities that Vince and Linda McMahon created. And I'm not putting that down, by the way. I'm just saying is that I think the Democrats had a very old school idea of what a rock star was, about who might sway opinions. I really thought, and I'm going to admit I was very naive about this, I really thought that Bruce Springsteen and Taylor Swift, not to mention all the other, you know, Hollywood celebrities, coming out for the Democrats would make a difference. Turned out it didn't. And I think that punctures a myth that we've held on to for a lifetime.
You know, one of the things that I would say about Springsteen, because I follow him so closely and I've seen him, you know, close to 50 times in concert, people can take this for what it's worth. He has, over the years, gone out, obviously, and endorsed candidates, done rallies, things like that. But in those 50 concerts that I've seen, maybe there were two times where I've heard him ever on stage talk specifically about party politics. You know, in other words, about a Democrat or Republican.
Right.
There was a concert in Milwaukee that's rather legendary in the East Street world from election night in 1988. But anyway, the bottom line is he doesn't do that in concert. Like, and I don't think Taylor Swift really does either. So
no,
you're able, as a fan, to sort of separate that stuff. But I bring it up because it begs the question, why do it at all?
Yeah, I have to say, for better or worse, and I tend to be someone, I'm a great fan of protest music. I'm a great fan of the classic protest singers like Bob Dylan and Pete Seeger and Phil Oakes. I'm a great fan of these people. But at the end of the day, I'm all for activism, and I'm not just talking about Democratic activism. I'm talking about whatever activism. I'm all for musicians taking a stance, but I think we can stop pretending that it's going to sway elections. Maybe it can alert people to union issues, and I think Bruce Springsteen's been very big on that stuff.
Yeah.
It can alert people to union issues. It can alert people to local issues. But in terms of swaying in on a national election, I think 2024, it punctured that bubble.
Did you have one more story, or did you cover three stories?
Yes, I did. Yes, okay. I did. I wanted to say that Bob Dylan's, the fact that Bob Dylan is still out there playing the shows of his life, anyone who goes to see Bob Dylan is going to see the definition of a man with a rock and roll heart. Bob Dylan gets on stage, he plays for himself, he plays with the energy of an 18-year-old or a 16-year-old playing in their garage. He's a rock and roll heart, and he does it again and again and again. He's determined to die on that stage being true to the inner spirit of the god of rock and roll. And Bob Dylan's never-ending tour, which continued throughout 2024, I think that's, to me, one of the biggest stories of the year, is that he is still out there. And now, of course, we have the movie.
Yeah, the movie's coming out in a few days. A Complete Unknown with Timothy Chalamet. We have a St. Louis guy, Norbert Leo Butz, who is a friend who's also in that movie, is Bob Dylan's mentor. I haven't seen it. I'm going to watch it this weekend. So I'll have a report on Monday afternoon before Christmas.
I have I bought tickets for me and my family for Christmas Day. We're going to go see the movie. And I want to say this about the movie, and I think it's important. The movie was done very much with Bob Dylan's cooperation, and this is something you can never forget about Bob Dylan. He is a joker. He is a man obsessed, not obsessed, that's the wrong way to put it. He's a man who's created his own myth. The good thing about Bob Dylan is that when it comes to his own mythology, when it comes to telling his own story, he's not. You can't believe anything that comes out of his mouth. And I think that's going to be reflected in this movie. You may remember a few years ago, there was a terrific Martin Scorsese documentary done with Dylan about his touring in the 1970s. Do you remember that?
I do, but I never saw it.
It's a wonderful film, and it was all made up. The footage was real, the live footage, but the stories Bob Dylan told about the tour were entirely made up. Now, I expect that the movie, even though I've heard that it's very touching and very effective, is also going to be full of this gorgeous, almost Dada-like, if to use the word for the art movement, this Dada-like mythology where Bob Dylan just likes loves to make up stuff about his own life.
That's interesting.
So I watch out for that in a good way.
Curious. All right, so you asked, we were talking earlier via text, and one of the suggestions was coming up with a couple of albums of the year, and I did that, so I'm going to start on this because there's
mine are going to be so obscure, everyone's going to be bored to death.
Yours are obscure. We pulled a little music, but mine are probably obscure as well to a certain extent, but there's a band that I love, and I actually got to see them about a month ago, and their name is Coin, and they just put on a new record. This is what they sound like here. This is called Strawberry Jam. And they're basically a three-piece. I mean, they have more.
Is that spelled with a K or a C?
No, it's C. Oh, it's all capital letters. Coin. And I've been a fan of theirs for several years. They've been around for probably a decade or more. But I saw them. Yeah, it's really good. Well, I play the second half of this song too. It's like a lot of harmonica. Just got a great sound to it. So that album, outside of this song, Strawberry Jam, really, really I loved. It was one of those records I could just put on. And then I'll kind of go in a little different direction for my second favorite here, and that's the Mavericks put out a new record this year. And I'm a big fan of the Mavericks, and this is one of the songs from that. I use this as a bump every once in a while. It's called Live Close. And really, really good sound here. I love Rahm Mallow so much.
I love you, baby. I like your company. You make me laugh. You never make me
cry. Tim, have you ever seen the Mavericks in concert?
Yes, I have. Not for many years. But isn't that a beautiful example of the fact that artists, as they enter their 50s and enter their 60s, can still make powerful music? It's not like the old days when artists would just get up there and play their oldies. Someone like the Mavericks can go into the studio and they can do something that has the heart and soul and energy and grit of the stuff they were doing in their 20s, and maybe even better than the stuff they were doing in their 20s.
I think
20s.
Sometimes better. And I love the Mavericks because, and Sue and I talk about this a lot, they're really the type of band, like if I wanted to just take a random friend or someone that I wanted to really show them a great concert, a great live concert experience, they wouldn't even have to know the music. And I'd take them to a Mavericks show, and they would be blown away. They really would.
You have great taste. Seriously, that's a really, really good call.
So those are my two records there. What do you have for me that I've never heard of?
Speaking of artists who've been around for a long time, yet are still at the top of their game, there is a phenomenal, one of my all-time favorite bands is an English band called Hawkwind. Hawkwind are a space rock band. In fact, they may be the inventor of space rock. It's been said that Hawkwind are the missing link between Pink Floyd and the Sex Pistols. And in England, they're kind of as big as the Grateful Dead, even though they don't sound anything like Grateful Dead. They're kind of a hippie cult band, but also the punk rockers love them too, and they've been around for 55 years, and they put out an album this year called Stories from Time and Space, which was just, it was their best album in 40 years, and just shows that they still got it, that they're still investigating, inventing, and making beautiful space rock. This album, for you or for the people listening to the show, imagine a cross between Supertramp and Pink Floyd and the Cars or the Sex
Pistols. Wow. All right, you got my attention now. Yeah. I never heard of it. I do like the name of the band, Hawkwind, though. I like that. All right, you had one other here that I pulled.
1969.
Nice. What about this one here? Ethan pulled this, so I don't know if this is one of the songs that's a hit.
This is from the other album.
Yeah, this is from the other album. Want to talk about this one?
Yeah, you know, it's a great gift to make music that is not ambient, but that is delicate, but draws you in, that is intense. Not music that just sits in the background, but quiet, strange music that really engages you. There is a European duo called Mars Smith, made up of a flautist named Daniela Mars and a pianist named Paul Smith. And they did an absolutely, absolutely exotic and beautiful album this year called Faroe Islands, Echoes on the Wind. And I know that sounds like it's going to be a floaty experience, but it's a really deep, intense experience to listen to the piano and the flutes just drift you off across the seas. And it's really one of my favorite albums of the year.
I like the sound of this. I'm going to put that in my queue and title, which is the music service that I use, and I'm quite curious about that. I also, you know, one of the other things I asked you is I've been playing...
That's a reminder that I have to really spend more time with Tidal.
I love Tidal. I think it's great.
One of the things I predict for 2025 is going to be the fall of Spotify, but we'll talk about that another time.
Yeah, you sent me a piece. Let's do that, because I do want to follow up on that. I was going to tell you, so there's a great song. I was going to get your opinion on this. So there's, I'm doing Christmas music on Tuesday. They're allowing me to spin some Christmas tunes, and most of them are going to be artists that I either know personally or have some sort of connection to.
If there's anything like the bumpers you've been playing today, it's going to be a hell of a show.
Yeah, there's good, but some of the stuff that I play as bumpers has got a little bit more high energy. There's some of the songs I'll play on Tuesday that are a little bit more, a little slower, not maybe great bumper music. But there's an artist that came out right around 2000, and her name, early 2000s, her name is Lizzie West, and she wrote an original Christmas song called Family Christmas. I'll just a little sample here.
About three to shake the boxes by the tree.
Now, Tim, listening to her sing, this song's called Family Christmas. Do you think that that vocal sounds like any other singer that you're familiar with, just out of curiosity?
In all honesty, no.
Okay, let me play. So she did a song, well, she did a record called Holy Road, and it was just a great record. It was on Warner Brothers. It was very, very, you know.
How long ago?
Like early, I'm thinking 2001, 2002. But this was one of the songs. But listen again, see if the lyric or the vocals sound familiar. So what happened was, is this album was fantastic, and I was told by Lizzie that at WXRT in Chicago, which is a legendary radio station,
sure,
the guy said, we can't play this, it sounds too much like Natalie Merchant, which, I mean, how many bands sound like one another?
Very interesting.
But she does have kind of a Natalie Merchant sound, but I got to know her, and we became, you know, a little friends, and then she just vanished. I mean, I've never been able to find her since about 2007. The record is still up there. It's the only record that she ever put out. The song Family Christmas is still out on the streaming platforms, but man, she just vanished. I even texted a couple weeks ago to see if she would answer and got nothing back, but it was just weird. And I guess you got artists like
shout
that.
Outs to, you're doing giving shout outs to your listeners to see if anyone knows anything.
Well, she's not from around here, but every once in a while, you know, that does happen. Now, look, I just looked at the clock, so unfortunately, I ran out of time to talk any more music. My goodness, this goes by very quickly. But I do want to follow up after the first of the year when Sue's back, and we'll talk about some of the Spotify stuff. But have a great
Fantastic.
Christmas. And by the way, I mentioned this, I didn't get to play it, but your band, Hugo Largo, from the 80s was mentioned on this list from the New York Times in the best box sets of the year, right?
I know. What a pleasure. I mean, that was an unexpected pleasure. We made two albums in 1988 and 1989. And they finally have been re-released 35 years later in a box set. And imagine my surprise to find that the New York Times put them on the list, put the box set for Hugo Largo on the list of the best box sets of the year. That was a great, great surprise.
Congratulations. Have a great holiday, Tim Sommer. We will talk
you
very soon
too,
after the first of the year.
Thank you so much.
Get more at 971talk.com.